Welcome, inmates, to issue 23. Quick, Kane, get to the Batmobile.
A quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
Welcome, welcome, inmates, to Heroes Asylum, issue 23. That is right. Ooh, we are back. That's right, man. Double digits. We're rocking into double digits. And
welcome to double digit land, yeah. Issue 23.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it's been almost 6 months we've been doing this? That's bringing great. This to you weekly, guys. And yeah, we're having fun doing it. So, and thank you guys for downloading, subscribing, and liking us, actually, out there. Definitely through our YouTube channel. We always want to get that out there. Make sure you guys are aware.
Appreciate the downloads, the likes, and all the shares.
Yes, thank you.
Good looking out, guys.
And welcome to our new inmates that are out there listening. I know we've been getting a few more new listeners out there. So welcome, folks. And hopefully you will enjoy the show that we have planned for you. How have you been today, sir?
I've been pretty good. Just, normal Sunday for us, prepping for the show, getting some notes ready. I actually finished reading some comics that we'll get into a little later on. So I'm all caught up now, and can't wait to share with you some ideas that I got.
Yep. Yeah, this issue, we will be discussing some of our new favorite reads, and some of them are old, but they're new to us because for me, for a little bit, I kind of had stepped out a little bit for catching up on the books, and I missed some pretty big story arcs. So, and lately I've been like reconnecting to some of those older ones. So this issue we're going to be talking about are like, you know, the ones that we really like, the ones that are like kind of almost rekindled that fire for us to get back into, you know, back into the comic book world. And, you know, not just the movies that have really, you know, got us back in, but these books as well have pulled us back in. And so we're definitely going to start doing that. And hopefully this will bleed into a new segment during weekly show. It's kind of something we'll lead into talk about some of our new releases and new reads that we're really enjoying. So, but just like we do every week, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the admissions ward.
That was nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice little swing to it.
Nice little swing to it.
So I'm gonna go ahead. I know Kane and I are gonna kind of tag team here. So what do you have this week for the admissions ward, good sir?
Well, as we begin the admissions ward, as everybody knows, the admissions ward, where we gather news, latest and greatest of the last week or so, or last couple days. Been kind of slow actually on my end, but I found a couple things. One of them, it's just a rumor that F. Gary Gray from the Fast and the Furious fame.
F who?
F. Gary Gray.
Wow.
He did, F. Gary Gray. He's a pretty good director. That's his real name, F. Gary Gray.
Go ahead.
He is in negotiations or in development. You know that term development because always means, you know, waiting forever. Of developing a Mask movie. You know, the cartoon from the 80s.
Oh, nice.
Everybody's, yeah. So that's one of the big things that I kind of stall around. And
the poor man's G.I. Joe has
poor man's G.I. Joe is might be in development, you know. Interesting.
Well,
that's what I thought.
I always who was it? Seth Green was always a big Mask fan, actually. I don't know if you ever saw any of his videos and interviewing, because I mean Seth Green is a bit of a comic book geek like us, but he's a huge massive Mask fan, and he was trying to do something there for a long time. I don't know if it was trying to roll it back into the animated series or not, but I know he was one to you know really kind of keep that
no that I haven't seen that.
Oh really?
Yeah, no, I didn't know. This is kind of shocking to me because I just didn't even know they would actually try to attempt this. I mean, they're still under the Hasbro banner, I believe, Masks, and I think they're developing their own kind of little mini universe.
Well, there was talk, I think it was 2-3 years ago, that of merging the Hasbro universe, so to speak, which would be the Transformers, G.I. Joe, Micronauts, which they're out there now, I think, doing some work on Micronauts. Mask would be part of that. And then
I would rather they do a Micronauts first than a Mask, to be honest.
That's what I think the Micronauts is a little bit further in from what I had read. I this is like 2-3 weeks ago. I remember it just, I kind of jumped over it really fast.
I thought it was cool. Very underrated comic, very underrated show too. Just like very, almost very Star Wars-esque.
But, yeah. They were also, it was the, what is it? The Visionaries, I think. Is that what they were called? The ones with the, with like these totems and they would change into, or they were.
Yeah, I think they were. And I forgot who the bad guys were. It was like a, it was like a Vader type figure. Yeah. I gotta read.
But those were also part of that Hasbro universe. And there was talk, like I said, it's been, I want to say 3 or 4 years that there was talk about like doing a joint world. And that would include even rolling in the Transformers existing universe. When I read that, I was like, man, that is a tall order
to pull in because it's never been done before, not even in comics. And then you just want to like smash a universe together. I mean, I don't know. Give it a shot, see what happens. I'm just kind of interested to see if they actually can pull this one, you know, this mask one off. I mean, is it going to be like the first G.I. Joe movie, or is it going to be like, you know, James Bond-esque type of movie, or Mission Impossible, I'm thinking. Something like that, then I would actually check it out.
I mean, I probably would be interested in either one. I mean, I could definitely see it with the gadgets and the transforming of a vehicle from one vehicle to another being very James Bond-esque.
Yeah, that's what
and
I was
then
saying.
It was Mayhem was the villains, I think. Max Mayhem, I think, was
Max name. Mayhem. He was Venom. It was Venom, I think. Okay. Venom, yeah, that was their name.
So,
they can't use that name, I don't think.
No, they could. Huh? There's no reason. Because I think Venom was a terminology for something else. I don't think it was.
Yeah, you're right. So is Mask. What is it?
Yeah.
Mobile, something armor, like strike,
yeah,
combat?
Something like that, yeah. It was.
If you guys know, please let us know. I mean, we'll probably look it up in a couple of seconds, but, you know. Just leave it on the Facebook page.
So very cool. It'd be kind of interesting to see something like that. You know, it is, you know, the movies and stuff are very nostalgic right now. Yes, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of original ideas out there. So we're kind of stuck with Hollywood dipping into my childhood. So dip away. See what they come up with.
Dip away and, yeah, let's see what happens.
They've had some gems and they've had some stinkers.
Ugh, I think they've had more stinkers.
Probably, yeah.
So what do you got, Mike?
Oh, this one rolling out, actually, was literally like a little bit after we had posted about DC not making Hall H. Marvel announced that this year they are going to Hall H. And that kind of contradicts everything I was arguing with you about was I could see Marvel sticking to the Disney, the D23, I think is what their convention is called. But yeah, they're gonna make their presence known in Hall H, which I think that's great. I mean, they do have a lot of movies in the works now, but also the DC streaming service is a big place and a big platform for it.
Yeah. I think they're going to drop a couple of series. I think they're going to focus on that Disney Plus streaming service. Then I think they'll announce their, the run of the movies that's going to come next and, you know, Phase 4. And what a better place to do it than Comic-Con. You know, if you judge on years past of their presence there, they've always done it big.
Oh yeah. They've always had some great,
Robert Downey Jr. dancing, throwing flowers in the aisles. Yeah. Then you had, Tom Hiddleston there dressed as Loki, introing, I think it was Avengers Age of Ultron. They always do it big. So.
Yeah, they definitely throw the theatric side to it.
Oh, yeah. So because, I mean, it's going to be fun.
You figure by now they'll have a month or so of Black Widow, so you're probably going to see some footage there. The Eternals, probably more announcements for them as to who's going to be in, who's out. Doctor Strange and Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi. That's an interesting one they're doing.
Yeah, that one is kind of. But again, so was Guardians, and yeah, we all scratched our head on that one.
Yeah,
look what we're doing now. We're screaming for another Guardians.
Yeah, unbelievable. It's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, yes, can't wait. But yeah, so they are going to be there, and that is kind of what they're gearing for. I mean, it's right on the heels of Spider-Man, and of course, End Games, which, you know, they announced they're doing an extra scenes and stuff that, you know, went in the next week or so. Or no, actually, it's already out. The extra scenes.
Yeah, I think it came out today.
Yeah, I was supposed to go today, and I've debated. I was like, I don't really want to go drop that more money on. We have already seen it a few times.
I'll just look for the scenes on YouTube. Yeah.
I'll get some description.
I want them to beat Avatar, but, you know, I've seen it 5 times. I think I've done my contribution.
Yeah, I did my due diligence going. So that's the one. That's one of the ones I have right now. What do you have next?
I got something that's pretty interesting. Have you been watching Swamp Thing on the DC streaming service?
I have, yes, sir.
What do you think of it so far?
Love it. I think it's what for Swamp Thing. It's what's needed. It's what Swamp Thing is. And I can't wait for more. I know you and I had to talk the other day about it. you're upset that it's ending.
I mean, because I like the way they're going so much so that Derek Mears, the man who is behind the Swamp Thing costume, because it's not all CGI, he wants to do a crossover with John Constantine. And first thing, if it can happen, great. I mean, I think I was talking to you about this way before Derek even mentioned it. I like, he could be the linchpin of the DC world, like on TV or streaming. You know, he's just always in pretty much in any series. He's always in there. So kind of connects all the worlds together. It'd be interesting. I mean, he won't do the movie, but, you know, just him being like that guy, almost like the Psycho Pirate, where he's connected to everything.
Right.
And I just think it's a good idea, especially with Matt Ryan playing. And I have no arguments if that can be a possibility.
Well, definitely. I mean, I think this is something that you and I have actually talked about for years. Is like when the Constantine show rolled out, you and I were like, man, he's the linchpin that could bring in Justice League Dark, bring in Zatanna, bring in Swamp Thing, bring in Dead Man, and, you know, and the Demon. We could have them all, and he would be that one, you know, like you said, the linchpin. And I still believe in what we were talking about, and I see them delving more and more into this darker realm of DC. And I think
they should. I mean, it differentiates them from Marvel a lot, because Marvel's only touched it, you know, with Doctor Strange. But, you know, with DC, you can go knee deep, you can get weird, you can get freaky, all the magic stuff, demons, hell.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, DC's more dark magic than Marvel, really, from my experience that I've read. It's usually the DC's got the darker side of the magic realms. But yeah, I could see them doing that. The more stuff I've read about Swamp Thing, actually, with this coming through, I finally did read something where there is something going on in the background that they're not ready to say. There was actually a quote from one of the DC folks that they can't say why they're not bringing it back. Like, literally, they said, no, we can't talk about it right now.
That's really disappointing. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we will find out the story soon, but it just, you know, the way that, like, I've always complained to you weekly about almost everything, but especially this one, because it's just, it hits home. I mean, when I saw the first episode, I was already hooked. And the episodes after that, I'm ridiculously hooked.
Yeah, I mean, there's something that you definitely mentioned it because you caught it before I did. And you're right, that first 5 minutes just drags you in instantly. It just pulls you in into this world. The characters, the actors, they're relatable. And yeah, they just
even a guy like Alec Holland, who's there for what, maybe 10, 15 minutes before, you know, tragedy befalls him. You care about the guy when he becomes, you know, eventually the Swamp Thing at the end of episode one. Spoiler, he does become Swamp Thing, just letting people know.
But yeah, and like you said, yeah, they went full force right into it, didn't play around. Hey, here he is. And I love the transition from the first episode to the second one. It's seamless, just bam, 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 right in.
It's almost like they're like individual episodes. There's not any kind of big arc. I mean, I don't know. They only made 10 episodes. Maybe there is an overarching arc, you know, being the Swamp. But I just kind of like it. It's almost like they have like a monster of the week that's attached to the Swamp. Like, I saw episode 3 this past Friday, and basically it was spoilers, if you haven't seen it yet. There was a toxin that was living inside a mummy that had been decomposed in the Swamp. And whoever touched his mummy would get this kind of toxic inside of them that would make them go pretty much insane, seeing their worst fears come to life. And just seeing, like, the one scene where the kid puts his hand in the garbage disposal. Or
Really? Fear toxin, scarecrow.
Yeah, it's very, very much, very close, very like, to the cool fear toxin. Yeah, it's kind of like fear toxin plus 10, because they really go all out. There's blood, there's death, and just, you know. I dug it a lot, and especially you get to see how powerful the Swamp Thing is and how connected he is to the basically life in general in that area. So I like it a lot, and it's just to see the ending of it sucks, but, you know, I'm just going to enjoy the ride for what it is, and hopefully in the near future they'll actually bring it back.
Yeah, let's hope. Kind of sticking to DC world, Stargirl. That DC is still in the midst of making Stargirl. And there is an announcement, not a complete official announcement, but somebody from behind the scenes has said that they're going to put Solomon Grundy on Stargirl.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I didn't hear.
Now, my thought is, if they are going away with Swamp Thing, that's a perfect way to bring Swamp Thing in and maybe keep him alive in that realm, because, you know, Solomon Grundy was buried in the swamp. So maybe they'll have something, a crossover of some sort there.
That'd be interesting. I mean, wow, Grundy on Stargirl.
Yeah, I was surprised when I read that.
That's a head scratcher. I mean, out of all the...
Especially, you know, he's not... I have never known him to be a Stargirl villain.
Yeah.
He was either Batman or Green Lantern.
But I guess. I mean...
And again, I see news like that still gives me hope for the DC universe. They're still moving forward with other shows.
You know, what we've always said is they have a huge catalog they can pluck pretty much anywhere from. Even, somebody as Solomon Grundy, who has, you know, I think they used him on Gotham, but, you know, not correctly. That was their own version. But, you know, they have such, you know, vast characters that you can use and you can poke and plot and put them in any series. And this is just another clear indication of just like, you know, DC going to the well and be like, you know, who haven't we used yet?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's throw in Grundy and Stargirl.
And I've always liked Grundy as a villain. He's that villain with a heart in a way. He's almost a Frank, you know, he's
very Frankenstein,
but that's why I've always liked him, that he's doing these things out of nature that that's just what he's now become. He's not really that person, but that's just, he's a creature now and he just mindless and, you know, just goes for it. There's been another version of Grundy. I'm trying to remember.
Besides the Gotham one? I don't recall any other ones.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I thought there was another one. I think I'm probably more thinking more of the animated series. They definitely had him a lot in the Justice League.
Oh yeah, especially I think it was in Unlimited. They had him a lot. Yeah. He had a big arc in Unlimited. I think with Hawkgirl too.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly. Yep.
Yeah. So that's. I mean, it's good to see that they're delving in and bringing, you know, Grundy in. And that's the one thing I'm really looking forward to with the MCU. You know, jumping in. I mean, we're very heavy about DC here right now, because that's really where you're getting more. We're getting more content from DC than we are Marvel. You know, we're getting our one or two movies a year from Marvel. We've gotten what, three shows this year?
Yeah, I mean
from DC. It. So
we had Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing. We're gonna get Titans in October.
Yeah, so well, Titans also Titans was first one came out at the beginning of this year too, if I remember correctly, or it crossed over
with Doom Patrol. Yeah, there was an episode called Doom Patrol, which introed the Doom Patrol. If you haven't watched Doom Patrol, please watch it, by the way.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping with the Marvel Universe doing more when they get over to the streaming service, we're definitely going to be, they're going to delve, you know, now they're going to have to really dig deep for some of these characters. And
yeah, they've kind of used a lot of their characters. I mean, they still have some. I mean, with the Fox merger coming in, they have a lot of their goodies coming back. But I don't think they're going to use them all at once. They're going to keep going with their plan and... But I can see Spider-Man being the one who's going to lead him, or Captain Marvel. I think they said Captain Marvel is going to be the one that's going to lead him in the future. So I don't know. But we'll see.
Let's hope not. So who would? No, not a fan.
You want no girl power?
No, I'm not. It's not about girl power. It's about Captain Marvel. All right. That's not Captain Marvel to me. Okay. So what do you have next?
I got a strange one, actually. Oh. It was it's a kind of, I don't like putting these things in the news feed because I think, you know, they're kind of clickbaity-ish, but this one was kind of interesting. There's a new poll that came out for the best Catwoman or Catwoman on the movie screen. And it was a poll taken, and they chose Halle Berry over Michelle Pfeiffer. Now, I don't normally put these polls out there because I think, like, I clickbaity-ish and very silly. But I thought to myself, you know, I checked the votes and see how many tallied, and there was quite a few votes on there. I'm like,
who did the vote? Like, what was it? A website or was it a magazine?
It's WeGotThisCovered.com.
Oh, my favorites, guys. Okay,
yeah, your favorites. Yeah, no, your favorite guys. But I thought it was like, okay,
that is kind of weird. Yeah, probably one of the worst. And when I say this, guys, there's a lot of bad DC movies. I'm talking about probably one of the worst voted DC movies of all time. If anybody's ever seen that is not Catwoman.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, that was
but it wasn't Catwoman.
That was a girl dressed as a cat, or a woman dressed as a cat. That was as close as Catwoman as it got. And I think was her name Selena in that? I think it was.
It was Constance.
Oh, okay. So not even the same. Yeah. So, and it's funny, as you dropped that one of my news ones was a similar poll. But this one came from the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, so it's a legit source.
It is legit, yeah, yeah. And I scratched my head when I read it. I thought it was kind of funny, especially all the backlash that's been going on. But a new poll finds people are excited about Robert Pattinson as Batman, that he is one of the top Batman right now in that poll.
Yeah, I saw that thing, and I think, what was it, about 70% of it were new millennials. Nothing against them, but, you know.
Well, that's what it's going to get me on.
It's going to be their demographic. I guess we know what they're going for. I mean, like I said, I don't hate the choice because I haven't seen anything, you know, of him as his portrayal as of yet. So it doesn't, for me to hate it is just silly. But, you know, I've seen a couple movies, as I've told you before, to watch, and that he's got the chops to do it. So I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised.
I thought when I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to add this one in for Kane, because you have picked up the banner, the flag of sorts for Robert to be Batman.
Yeah, that's the first thing I did. And I think we discussed this before, is that, like, in the past, I would have been irrational, been like, no, I don't want the Twilight guy being Batman. But then I thought about it, because that was the big thing. Like, a friend of mine I used to work with on a previous job, you know, before I got to the one I have now. You know, we all have day jobs. Sadly, we don't get paid in this bad class, but maybe someday. But anyway, and when our previous employer that I worked with, a friend of mine named Reggie, he texted me when the casting happened, and he was just going insane. And then his first words that came out of his mouth, he's like, oh, the Twilight guy's Batman. I'm like, well, Twilight was almost 10 years ago. That's been a while. He's done stuff since then. And then I had to show him, like, hey, man, watch these couple movies. Let me know what you think. And if you still think he's a Twilight kid, then, you know, I can't persuade you.
Well, it's like the conversation we had with some of my coworkers last night. That conversation was popped up.
And it's brought up again.
And I was so wrong on the direction the conversation was going to go. I thought that the female in the relationship of the couple that we were talking to, I thought she was going to be, oh, it's Robert.
I thought she was going to be four, yeah.
She went like full anti, like, screw the sparkle guy. I don't want to see. I'm like, whoa, okay. I didn't, did
there
not
were more that. Affleck fans. I was kind of shocked.
Yeah, I was, and, it kind of warmed
both
my heart.
Of them, both of them were basically saying how they liked the older version of Batman. And I'm like, yeah, that's always been my favorite, because you have to have that older dude lead the way. And, we've seen the younger Batman before, but then again, with Matt Reeves helming, you know, I want to see what his take is going to be on it. It's going to be interesting. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if I could see if they went this route, I think Robert is a little too old to do it. But I think if they had caught Robert maybe like 5 years ago, they could have done the Batman Beyond thing. With a younger one, gone more gritty and done that cyberpunk style. I think they could have gotten away with that. And that I would have been okay with a younger Batman, because that's Terry. It's a younger person. And in that world has not been touched. And it is
That's a world waiting, waiting to explode on screen over your face.
And the fact,
yes, I did say that.
See, okay. I just want to make sure. And with the fact that you have a lot of, and I'm going to say this, men of a certain age, gentlemen our age, are a little bit older that have played Batman, and they can easily just slip in as a nod to, hey, yeah, I was Batman, wink, wink, you know, but this is the new, they could have done that.
The one they could do is he's right out there in a perfect age is Michael Keaton.
Oh yeah. Perfectly. Yeah.
That could be a one-off movie they could just do.
And, oh yeah. They don't have to make a series out of it. They could do just the intro, the origin story, or they could do the Return of the Joker. There's so many.
They could have an amalgamation of a couple of the best episodes of, you know, I kind of like, I think they had a villain called Blight, and he was pretty interesting. Yeah. He was like in charge of Wayne Enterprises when Bruce retired.
Yeah, because it became Wayne and something else.
Wayne, Blight, I forgot what it's called. I think it was, oh man. Listeners, please help us out when you get a chance. Please post comment, because I'm trying to think. I think it was Towers?
Yes, that's it, yeah.
Towers Wayne, something like that. Okay.
And that's, he's the one that became Blight because of it. So, but yeah, I mean, definitely something that they can definitely go with. What else you got there, buddy?
I got something that, you know, I guess I normally don't talk about gossipy things, but I guess Batman is going to be honored with a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm like, okay, that's great. I kind of feel that, you know, that somebody else should have gone with him, because they're both the oldest characters out there and they both deserve to be on there.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I like the Batman to be on there, it's great, but I think it should have been both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, it's not, See, most people don't think and know this about the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It's not a, you're nominated at some point, but they don't, nobody does it. You have to actually collect your money to get your own star. So when stars get, I'm getting this star, it's, you've been in the business long enough to be what they would consider an icon, but you actually have to pay for that. You have to pay for the upkeep and everything else. So it's not just an honorary thing Manch Chinese Theater or anything like that.
I think if you and I raised enough money, we could put the Heroes Asylum on the wall.
Basically, if we're around long enough to where, and then that's all it really takes. It's not what people look. It is an honor to be able to get your name out there. That is definitely a sign and a nod that you have done something, but it's not that they're like, we're honoring you and we're going to put it there by ourselves. No, you now have to somehow get the money, either if it's a fan group or something along those lines. I lived in LA for quite a few years, and I saw a lot of the stars get put out there. So I became interested in, well, how's that happen? I was out there when Charles Schultz, the Peanuts fame, he got a star out there. Just a bunch of other people. Schultz just sticks out in my head the most. But there was just a lot of people. So I kind of was curious about, how does somebody get that?
Yeah, it's not a huge, you're exactly right. I mean, it's an honor, but you got to get funding. You got to get people behind you. It's a whole movement type of thing.
It is,
so I'm sure there was somebody out there who said, hey, let's put Batman on there because we don't have somebody to put on there this week. So I think that's basically what it was. But,
it's his 80th year. I mean, that I get. I understand the reason behind it. It's Batman's 80th anniversary. Got it. Because you and I talked about that when we did the 80th anniversary. It was like, this year we're going to see a lot of shit about Batman. We're going to see movies, comics, the star. Yeah, so I mean, a lot's going to happen with him. Again, I think they just kind of brushed over Superman's, which again, and you ask anybody, he's the pinnacle. He was the originator. It just seems kind of weird. I do know Batman is probably the more popular of them all, because if you do look at the movie ratio, so to speak.
He's
in the public eye, I think.
Yeah, he is, because Superman movies came first, but they were kind of limited what they could do in those movies as far as special effects wise, and you didn't really see Superman's rogue of villains. I mean, if you want to count Richard Pryor in Superman 3, that's up to you. But
the computer was Brainiac. Come on,
Was that Brainiac?
If you look at it, they didn't call it Brainiac, but if you actually looked when they were in the cave, it had the
three dots. You're right.
It wasn't Brainiac, but it was a straight up nod to Brainiac going, we know what you wanted to do. I got it. So we're going to delve into Marvel. So I like this idea so much. And it's just simply a former writer of, a former artist of this series. Put out an idea, and I really loved it. Was the former Moon Knight artist, Bill Sienkiewicz? I'm going to butcher that.
Sienkiewicz.
He actually endorses Keanu Reeves picking up the.
That's one of the news stories I had.
I figured Keanu would be dropping. Yeah,
I was up there.
I read that. I was like, I like that, because I want to see Moon Knight on the big screen. And in my head, I always had trouble with who. And Keanu would be, I think, could really do it. And just with his training that he does,
guy's 52 years old and in amazing shape. Yep. So as we're living in the Keanu-sans, as somebody had I penned it the other day, I'm like, we are kind of living in the Keanu-sans. I'm like, okay. And the news is like Moon Knight, Feige has talked to Keanu and he wants to get him the right role in the universe. I'm like, why not Moon Knight?
Yeah, Moon Knight. Because I would think it would be perfect as a standalone, because Keanu does so great as those lone gunmen, those lone, warriors. And that's Moon Knight,
And if I remember the Moon Knight runs correctly, I didn't read too much of them. I read like the earlier ones where he was like a straight up vigilante and he got his powers from kind of Pharaoh in Egypt. Right. I know the later ones, he had like multiple personalities. He was like a mayor and a cop or.
Yeah. I mean, if you stick to the original, the powers from, from the Pharaoh. Yeah, I could definitely go with that.
I would go with that, because I think the multiple personality thing is kind of a little bit too much for Keanu right now. I mean, Keanu is what he is. He's one of those actors. Like, you can't hate the guy. He just does something well, and he does it, and he's been doing it for a long time. But I think if you're going to go that route, you need somebody who is a little bit more of a thespian type. So
I could see that. I mean, I could see him doing more. He's got different versions of whoa. He could do
whoa.
Yeah. So
whoa.
But again, it's definitely something I just grabbed my eye. I thought, you know, that's really a cool, because again, I've always wanted to see a Moon Knight out there, and again, because they've never delved that deep into their darker realms. And I do know Moon Knight is very much a Batman nod when you look at it, but it's, I think it's still something they could do.
Oh yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely.
All right. So I stole your thunder on that one. So what else you got? Or is that,
who's
that,
I last one? Got the first reviews are in for Spider-Man Homecoming. They're in. And, as everything with Marvel, because everything they touch turns to gold, they're all positive. Nothing spoilery that I have read, but it looks like we're going to be entertained with two post-credit scenes. And apparently one is first, you know, the direction of the Spider-Man films, and another one is the direction of Phase 4. So I'm almost interested to see where they're going to go, because I've heard rumors that as of you, I'm taking a wild guess at one of the post-credit scenes that I think I've told you. I think it's going to be basically when Stark sold the first Avengers Tower. I think it's going to be Oscorp. And the ending is going to be basically somebody coming into her Norman Osborn's office, laying down a file of Peter Parker, and then they're going to go from there. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. And then you're going to go Phase 4. He's going to probably be one of the main bad guys.
Well, yeah, you definitely need Osborn in there for this. And yeah, this will be the exclamation point on the end of Phase 3. So yeah, we needed that kind of like, hey, this is what we got coming up. I was reading something about, actually, I think it was on the article about them going to Hall H, and there was talk of, you know, the X-Men and the, you know, Fantastic Four and things, and that they've pretty much already locked down their Phase 4, that we're probably not going to see. Pretty much,
we're not going to see X-Men movie for a while.
No, they're.
I think, to be honest, I would let the X-Men need to be put to bed for a while.
Yeah, just kind of
after the last movie, which is, yeah, you got to let them go. I think what you can do is, like, maybe down the road you might start hearing about them, like somebody showing up here and there, but you don't need to go full on X-Men anymore. They've had enough years, almost 20 years on film. The last film wasn't the greatest in the world. They rushed it, and it shows. Although the music is very good by Hans Zimmer.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one. Great, yeah, the music is great, by the way.
I honestly think what they need to do, and they'll probably continue this one because, I mean, these movies have been guaranteed blockbusters no matter what, but the Deadpool series. Continue the Deadpool series, kind of showing up as a standalone, but he would be a great way to interject that breaking that fourth wall of, hey, things are happening here. Things aren't what they used to be. You know, he can actually do bump ins to with Spider-Man. I mean, I would love to see Holland and Ryan together.
Oh, my God. That's gold. That is gold waiting to happen.
But do another Deadpool, because I know Ryan's probably dying for another Deadpool. Do another one. But kind of he could be that linchpin in between the two worlds. And I think that would be the best way. And then what you can do is. Bring in the X-Men slowly through him and just use him. I mean, we're still going to get Deadpool movies, but use him as that story, as that interweaving thread that would kind of explain everything. Cause he was always that one that could just kind of jump around and be, you could see him on a Spider-Man comic book one week. And then next week he'd be screwing around with Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a good idea. He could definitely be that linchpin. I could see that. Why not?
But yeah, we're unfortunately, yeah, nothing from the X-Men or Fantastic Four. Yeah, at least for
No. Like you said, to echo what you just said, Feige has his plan. The X-Men are not, and the Fantastic Four are not coming anytime soon. Yeah, that's like
a lot of times their phases move pretty quick.
Well, the phases are supposed to move quicker now.
Yeah,
because according to him, yeah, they're not doing the long overarching like the Infinity Saga. It's going to be like mini arcs, which is like what comics are.
Yeah,
so
basically,
it's,
yeah.
So that's fine.
So hopefully we'll see more, and we'll see some more nods, you know, especially I do know that they did talk about that in Spider-Man, you know, that they introduced the multiverses, you know, that's not a spoiler. So don't worry, folks. If you haven't seen a trailer for Spider-Man, they do mention multiverse. And, so yeah, there's definitely, that's the key to that. And that could, you know, just open up the worlds to whatever they need. My next one, and actually this one's kind of going to go back. Both my last stories are kind of going back to our youth.
Mm.
For the Ghostbusters movie that they are doing. They have announced that Annie Potts has been confirmed to come back as Janine. So we will see pretty much, you know, minus Ivan, you know, rest in peace, but they will, we'll see everybody but him.
Yeah, I guess Rick Moranis is not coming back. He's still stuck in Santa Monica, probably just hanging out and surfing.
Well, no, he moved out to like Midwest somewhere with his family. But he did come back. There was a show. The Goldbergs. He did a cameo on the Goldbergs last year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and it was like his first time in Hollywood. And I don't know if you've ever seen the Goldbergs or if any of you guys have. If you haven't and you're a fan of this, of what we're talking about, you need to watch the Goldbergs because it's about me growing up and you growing up, Kane. It talks about the 80s. It takes place in the 80s. And they have, I think I told you about the one episode. They literally had an episode where the son, the main character, goes and sees Transformers the movie.
Really?
And he comes out and him and his grandfather redo the movie because he was so brokenhearted about it. And he like puts on like cardboard like versions of like the Transformers. Yeah, I mean, it's great.
I gotta check that episode out.
It's really fun. You know, the music and everything on it's fun too. But yeah, Moranis guest starred on that. And I guess it had something to tie into. I don't know either if it was something for the Honey I Shrunk the Kids or Ghostbusters thing, but
I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen too much of the Goldbergs.
Oh yeah, dude. I wasn't sure until somebody told me, no, you got to check it out, especially if you're on the comic book geeky side of things. I go, oh yeah, I am. And there's, you know, the where they go to see Star Wars for the first time and just everything. I think I loved it the most is because at the beginning of the show, they push play on a DVD player and we had that DVD player. I had that thing.
I'm sure.
So, yeah, but so, yeah, Annie Potts is coming back. And this was, you know, pretty much, you know, that the original cast, something we should have gotten years ago. But we did not. And else was he? We had Umbrella Academy as starting their filming of their second season.
The way season one ended was like, what?
Yep.
You got to give me more. And I wasn't even in. I wasn't even into Umbrella Academy until I started watching. I was like, wow, this is really good.
Not filming it in production. So we are getting them to come back. And if nobody's watched the Umbrella Academy, do yourself a favor. Great show.
Really
sticks close to the book. It's one of the books I've recently read. Really sticks close to that. And last but not least, and again, this kind of delves into our childhood in a way, but Jason Momoa, and I love this when I read it. Jason Momoa wants to team up with Peter Dinklage to do a Twins remake. And this, I saw that. I was like, that would be awesome. Those
two. You know what? It sounds so crazy. I'm in. Just do it. Make this movie happen now. Call them. Call their agents. Just do it.
It was during an interview where they were talking to him about it. And they asked him about different things. And we hope this was one of them. One of them was also, and that's part of the ones that kind of stemmed some rumors, mills kicking around, the clickbaity things, was him wanting to either do Wolverine or Sabretooth. But this all happened during like this one interview. And that was one of the things he suggested. And I laughed like you did, but I was like, man, that works. It works. No difference than when somebody said we want Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito to be twins. This would work. And I think those two actors would be perfect for each other.
And they got comedy chops, both of them. So they could both do it.
Yeah. And I could just see the disdain of Dinklage.
That's what I was just thinking. He has to play the straight laced guy because if he doesn't, it's a crime.
Yeah, I mean he has to play.
This is my brother. Like,
he has to play DeVito, but he has to play just the pissed off DeVito. I mean, DeVito
was angry.
DeVito was a bit angry, but no, he's just got to be just anger. Man, I think that would be an interesting one.
They gotta make that happen. Put into production now, please. Give him all the monies.
And my last one, and I wouldn't really call this one news, but it was something I read today, or I read this 2 days ago. I didn't fall for it because I've learned. But a lot of other people did, and a YouTuber that we sometimes watch, that Star Wars girl, she made a post about it, that somebody, I think it was comicbook.com, posted an article that said Batman's Robert Pattinson has to back out of a movie because of scheduling conflicts.
Well, he's a busy guy.
Yes, but the way that he made it sound was that he had to back out
of Batman. That he was backing out of Batman. Yeah, I read that thing too, and I was like, wait a minute. Yeah,
so that's one of those things.
One of those things you got to read all the way.
And it's something I've become more bitter about. It's shown a little bit. I'm showing disdain and distrust for the clickbait groups and I really have to hope there's
too
certain,
much false information out ways. There. It just gets me angry and
I used to laugh about the false news, but it's getting ridiculous how much people are just wanting to get somebody to click on their page just cause. And I'm like, guys, no, don't. That's you're gonna make it bad for the people that are out there that are really wanting to get some news information and, you know, good information out there. You're gonna make it harder for everybody else. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of the clickbaity shit. So
no. So, well, folks, that is the admissions ward for today.
Full deck. That was fun.
Oh yeah. So yeah, that was a nice one there. So we, like I said, this episode we wanted to talk about kind of our recent reads. We've been stopping into our local comic book store, Acme Superstore here in Longwood. And
434 and 1792.
That's so right. Yeah, get in there, check out the guys in there. We've talked about the store before. It's a great store to get into. If you've never been in, I'm sure everybody's, you know, a lot of people in our area have driven by and just, oh, it's a comic book store, but it's a museum.
It's everything. It's fun. Like a geek's dream. They got comics. They got action figures. They got toys. They got everything in there. It's like literally, even if you don't buy anything, you could just sit there and wonder, just look at all the cool stuff they have. They have a lot of cool stuff. You know, Josh, yesterday he bought this. I think we both saw it more on the checkout counter. He had an actual Green Lantern battery.
Yeah.
That lights up if you have like a certain ring. It actually lights up. It's like when you're charging the ring. I think it was the blue one he had. He didn't have the green. I suppose they come in all colors, but.
Yeah, they do. I remember it was coming out. And that's.
They do. Okay. And the weight of it is actually like a real battery. It's not like some kind of plastic little foamy thing. It weighs. It's a good like 15 pounds. And I was like, oh. And I'm thinking, you know, this could be one of the things, because I love collecting superhero movie props. That's one of the things I'm going to put in the future. But they have everything there. They had a Funko Con a couple weeks ago, and they still have their Funkos there. Some of them that I didn't even know they made. I think I saw Marty McFly Back to the Future on with the DeLorean. That was like almost $100.
Yeah.
I'm kind of shocked at that one. But,
yeah, they're still sort of still set up from that in the back in the danger room. So, but yeah, so. What we've been doing, we're in there every week. We always stop in, say hi. We do our weekly picks. And it was something that, you know, we've been doing, trying to delve, like I said earlier, just trying to delve more into the bigger story arcs and different ones like that. So we wanted to talk about those arcs. I know Kane has recently picked up one. I've already finished, and he's now starting that one. I guess I'll kind of start off with that one. For me is the Darth Vader.
So good.
Yeah, that's the one. It started last year, and there are volumes 3. I think they're on right in the middle of volume 4 right now.
I just started issue 2. It's so good. It just like I can't stop reading it. I got to keep reading it. Like even if I go to sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm gonna keep reading this thing. It's just the beginning panel. You know, basically takes place right after Revenge of the Sith, and it just like goes from there. I'm like, oh, finally. So they basically redeemed Vader and that stuff, and they're just moving forward. And now you're just seeing Vader as not the whiny kid. Now he's a badass. You know, and it goes from there. I don't want to spoil any of the story that so far. I mean, Mike's read the whole thing, but it's just good. It's just really, really well done. It's kind of how I wish the Star Wars movies would have been. Or would have been if they actually made one after that. So it's just just really good. Really, really good. I mean, Mike, you could speak on it more because you've actually finished it.
But yeah, no, it's what you're saying is true. I mean, you see what he had to go through. It wasn't just that he turned his back and became this, you know, half man, you know, just a cyborg thing. It, and like Kane was saying, it starts seconds, literally seconds after the infamous no. And it just picks up from there. You know, he has to go on a journey to get his lightsaber for the first time. He also, I think it's volume 3. They actually, if anybody's been interested in it, if you're a hardcore Star Wars fan, there was always talk about Vader's castle. In volume 3, the whole volume takes place on Mustafar while they're building Vader's castle. And you understand why does it look the way it does. Because we finally got to see it in Rogue One, but this explains why is it the way it looks? Why is it there? Well, you know, what's the one reason why it's there? And you see him battle with internal demons throughout all the volumes. And it explains, I know they're doing it in a retro, you know, in a way, because they saw how, you know, Vader and Obi-Wan's final conflict was. And you see that moment where, and through that, why he's the way he is when he's Obi-Wan. It's not just that. He's had his own internal battle with Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan's never been there. It's been in his mind. So, yeah, the story just grows and grows. And it's, if anybody is a true Star Wars fan and, like you were saying, you wish the movies would have continued this way and you wanted to see more and you weren't happy with what we got afterwards, this makes up for it tremendously.
I would 100% agree with you, sir. It's really, really. And I didn't want to pick up another book because I think I was mentioning to you about another series I want to start picking up. And you were like, pick this one up. And then you kind of made the comment, like, you know, Josh was like, you should pick this one up too. I'm like, okay, well, two people said it, so let me just pick it up and see what's going on. So far, Josh's picks have been pretty right in the head. He gave me the Alien book, which actually takes place after Alien 2, and it kind of like deletes that sequel, Alien 3, which was not one of my favorite movies, but that's another good one too. So
yeah, that's one that's on my to-do list, because I've heard you say it. And then again, you know, definitely the guys that, you know, Acme Josh has, you know, made a comment about it. One that you were reading and I hadn't gotten a chance to read, and I just did it like last week. I just delved deep into it. Was
you the binged it?
Yeah, binged like hard. I binged a lot last week. Was the Doomsday Clock for DC, and I guess you would say Watchmen series now.
Kind of blending the two worlds in. I guess they're integrating the Watchmen into the DC mainframe. You would say, I mean, that's been going on for a little while now. I think during Rebirth, they hinted at Dr. Manhattan, the Flash, you know, they had the button for the longest time. So now you're actually going to get this Doomsday Clock series. And to me, it's been a slow build because we know what's coming. And, you know, I think I'm on issue 10 was the last one I just picked up.
Yeah, because I think it's a 12-issue run.
It's a 12-issue run, yeah.
So we got the last two coming up.
I mean, yeah. So we know what the whole conflict is leading up to. Obviously, it's going to be Dr. Manhattan versus Superman. That's basically been almost the entire thread. I mean, there's been some other things on there really good. The Firestorm arc I like a lot.
Yes.
A lot, because it actually makes Firestorm into what he's, you know, he's terrifying. You know, he's basically a flying nuclear bomb. And they actually, you know, there's like these representatives are going up against him. It's like almost like the fear campaigns of the old Watchmen series. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts going on. But to me, it was a slower build. I think you differ on that.
I agreed with, no, it was a slow build, but I think my luck was because I picked it up after 10, so I could burn.
That's probably why.
For you, you've been month after month after month trying to pick him up, and it is a slow story. So what Kane is saying is definitely true. It is a slow, but it's a good slow story. There are stories that need to be slow. This is one of them. Because you're building two worlds, and if anybody really remembers Watchmen was a very slow-paced world, and they really capture that and that they capture that rhythm for when you are working or when you're reading and looking at the members of the Watchmen world and they're being brought into the DC world. You can kind of see the pace of them. DC's a little bit faster, But the pace of the overall story, yeah, it is slow, but it's well worth it.
Oh yeah, I agree. It's well written. I mean, the art is amazing.
And that last panel on number 10 was just
you know what it's leading up to.
Yeah, that's you know what it's yeah. But it's just that one. And now I'm where you are. Now I'm like, damn it, I have to wait now. Yeah. I should have just waited a couple months and then picked it up.
You should have, but you know, you wanted the gem button. I mean, I think
yep.
But it's slow build. It's getting there now. Now it's getting to the good parts of what the conflict is leading up to. All the characters are really good, especially the they have these mime type characters. I kind of call them like the Harley Quinn Joker type ripoffs.
What were they? They were called.
I forgot what they're called, but they were okay. I mean, they had an interesting dynamic. I think one of them was a mute. He lost his voice when he was young, and I think they had a child that got stillborn or something. It was some kind of tragedy they went through.
Oh, no, the child I thought had been kidnapped.
Was they kidnapped?
Sorry. They were arrested, and she found out she was pregnant, had the baby in jail, and then after had a baby in jail, and the child was taken away, obviously. Mm. And that's...
I forgot what that was.
Come over.
Did you get it?
I was trying to bring it up, but I converted some of my comic books over from one digital form to another.
It's an interesting story. Like the little side stories are pretty good. I mean, Batman's used pretty well, actually pretty sparingly, to be honest. I think he was around for the first couple issues, and I don't think he's been around.
Yeah, no, he was there. I think for the Firestorm part
and the Rorschach, and that was it. You know, it was kind of funny that he threw Rorschach in jail.
Yeah,
that was kind of I'm like, okay, I'm like, but that's good. I mean, it's good writing when you don't have to use some of your big guns. But you know, the big gun is coming. The Dr. Manhattan part I like a lot. You know, he's basically somehow been, you know, he's been painted as the villain, and he calls himself out on it, which I think is fascinating. You know, it's almost like he, at the ending of the original Watchmen, he was sort of the villain. So now he's basically just calling himself out on it. I mean. Like I said, slow build, but it's getting there. It's getting there.
Yes, yes, it is. Now, actually, this is one I was talking about was the Court of Owls. I had completely missed the Court of Owls. You know, during that time, I wasn't reading like I was what I used to, and the ones I were reading were very specific, and I just picked those up, and that was it. And Court of Owls, I just completely skipped right over. And DC had actually released a Essentials book, and what these are basically DC Essentials. And what they do is they take one big story arc and just put it into one big book. And it's, you know, it's a graphic novel, but it's specific one.
They did that with Nightfall, so I remember that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. This kind of, yeah, I think that was part of the series. They also have Darkest Night in a series and a few other ones. And I was very impressed. I had seen the Gotham version of the Court of Owls before I saw this one. So I was, as I'm watching the Gotham one, I'm like kind of iffy. I was like, I don't, is this really how the story went? Because I know, you know, obviously Gotham was taking place during a younger Bruce, but Court of Owls was older, you know, in the comic book. So I was like, I don't know how really close they're getting. When I watched it, I think they did the best job they could for what they had. Because there were certain aspects of the Court of Owls that couldn't be done without certain characters, and they hadn't introduced those characters yet. I don't even think some of those were born yet.
Yeah, I think a couple of them. I think they had a version of the Talons on there, but they had little Domino mask on. And
yeah, and I think Azrael in that was more.
Yeah, they had a version.
Talon.
He was more of a Talon type thing too. So. So I connected. I mean, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't, you know, what I read.
It wasn't Court of Owls. And the one thing you and I talked about, you know, that when you had asked, you know, it's the history that they give for Gotham.
Yeah, the whole backstory. The Waynes were not, you know, the clean cut Waynes that we thought they were. And they did some shenanigans. So it's just, it opens up that whole world. You see what's going on, the idiosyncrasies of like the families. And I thought it was fascinating. And then to find out that you actually have finished that run, it's just like, oh, now you're going to get to enjoy what I enjoyed.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's what one of the things that really drew me in is I am a big fan of Azrael. that story run and that character I thought was great. I think they misused him after the Nightfall series. He kind of went a little weird, and but that was one of the things that drew me in, was that history that you're learning about this new character, but there's, you know, 1,000 years of history to what that character really is. And that's why I think I really enjoyed the Court of Owls, because it had that thick history, but also the story, including, you know, one of my other than Azrael, one of my other favorite Batman, you know, characters, you know, was a kind of a main centerpiece to it as well. And just seeing the downfall and just the beating up of Bruce Wayne. And that, I will say, that's the one thing I've noticed in more comic books nowadays with Batman. That man just, he takes a
beating. Oh my God. He takes a beating.
I can't tell you how many I've seen where he's gone mentally. Just he should snap and be, you know, right there next to the Joker, you know, but he's still there.
He's got that will, man. He just keeps going. That's what it is. I mean, that's, and that Court of Owls storyline, they tested him both mentally and physically. So he really had to go all out in that one. That's good stuff.
So. Yeah. So what do you have? I know I dropped a couple, and I know at least one of them you had read. So
I just finished reading Prodigy, 6-issue run. It's pretty good. It's not the greatest comic book in the world. It was quick. It was fast. The story was pretty simple. I believe his name is Edison Kane. I know it's his first name is Edison. I had it right in front of me. But basically, he's born with extrasensory abilities. And basically, he can almost do anything he put. Like, his mind operates at that 100% that we've all been told about. If we ever put our minds like to 100%, you know, we'd be like the smartest person in the world. Well, this guy is what he is. His mind is at that peak level, and it's so high that he can basically theorize anything. He can be a professor of law one day, and the next day he could be doing heart surgery. I mean, he's that perceptive of anything. His nickname is the Professor in the book. And the basic story arc, I mean, like I said, not the greatest in the world, but the character himself is really good. I enjoyed it. The ending wasn't the greatest. I thought it was kind of hokey. But other than that, it was good. Very good run. It's a Mark Miller run. I know you haven't checked that out yet, but it was definitely a good read, and I definitely recommend it. It's, you know, it's quick, it's easy, 6 issues, and you're done.
Very nice. I'm a fan of – is it Mark Miller or Mark Millar?
Mark Millar. I don't know.
But I'm gonna call him Mark. I loved his run for during Kick-Ass. So definitely, I definitely want to check him out. There are some other runs he has done. So
it's not the greatest story. Like, the character himself is really good, and I wish they would have done more with him, like, going forward. But, you know, right, it's only 6 issues, and, you know, knowing Mark Miller's work, somebody will pick up that adaptation and make it a series or a movie. Who knows? Well, I could definitely see that happening.
There is work, so I think they are trying to work on a Millar universe.
Yeah, Netflix bought all this stuff.
Yeah, so hopefully maybe this one will get added in as part of it, and maybe him and Kick-Ass will have a crossover.
That'd be fun. I've been reading Lucifer too.
Lucifer,
yes, you know, Lucifer that was saved on Netflix for 10 episode run on Netflix this past summer, which was actually really good. It is basically that character, but it's a vastly different character than the one you see on television. Way different. This comic is darker. It's strange. It's weird. Lucifer has basically cohabitates with a witch, creates a child. Heaven doesn't like that too much, sends the archangels after him. People of Earth don't like him too much. His friends are betraying him. There's a lot of demon eating, flesh eating stuff. Lucifer basically goes to deal with Egyptian gods about, like, you know, tipping time. It's all over the place. It's pretty nutty. The art is really good. I'd recommend it. I just finished issue 9 right now of the run. I think they're going to do more. I'm not sure how long the run is going, but there is a to be continued.
Well, I was going to say, because that's part of the Vertigo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's part of the Vertigo stuff.
So, but I mean, I know Vertigo's not going away until 2020, so they've got the rest of the year too.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Like I said, like, all these past two comics that I'm going to recommend, weird. And I like the weird stuff, but Lucifer gets weird. I mean, really weird. Well, there's a point where...
Well, I was going to say, well, I mean, Lucifer is also part of the Sandman world as well, yes, right? So yeah, you want weird, go there.
Yeah, if you want strange and weird, I mean, it goes places that you don't think it's going to go, but it goes. I mean, there's like talking hands. There's like a little bit of time travel. Lucifer somehow turns into an old man and is abandoned on the planet. He has to get out of his planet, escape hell. It's just, it's all over the place. It's wacky. There's not really a set arc or storyline, I mean, except for Lucifer's son and this witch. But moving forward, like the last issue had nothing to do with the main story arc at all. It's basically about a demon hunter who's confronting a demon named Caliban. They go back to his house. He wants to basically get into hell to hunt Lucifer. But then little by little, the demon keeps feeding him demon flesh. He doesn't know. And as a human, it interacts with him in a different way. And slowly, by the end of the issue, something happens to this guy that he's not going to be hunting demons anymore. I'll put it that way. I'll just leave it like that. But if you're into that weird supernatural, like I've always told Mike, you know, that's one of the reasons I like Supernatural, the TV show, is that heaven and hell stuff. Definitely is part of this with a lot more going on, fantasy elements and horror, straight horror too. So definitely check this one out.
Very cool. And yeah, I do have a couple of the Lucifer ones, like the big first starting off story arcs for him, that's on my list to do as well.
Definitely check it out. I mean, like I said, it's a good read. It's a little wacky. I know you don't like wacky storylines, but
oh no, I like wacky storylines. It's, you know, just dumb storylines that, you know,
they don't make any sense. Yeah. Another one I finished reading one was a while ago. It was a 6-issue run. It was the Kings of Fear, Batman, which I thought was really good. The premise of it basically is Batman has been, you know, infected with the Scarecrow neurotoxin. His greatest fears come out, and basically he has a Scarecrow walking him through Gotham, asking him the question, does Gotham really need Batman? And through all the issues, it's going back to where he began, Crime Alley, all his villains. You know, basically these villains are a manifestation of him. You know, if he stopped doing it, do you think crime would keep going on? And it's basically him fighting this version of the Scarecrow in his mind. It goes through every issue, just like, you know, amping it up, you know, trying to break him. But, you know, in the end, you can't break the bat unless you're Bane. Very interesting. It's a well seamless storyline, like all the way through. You know where it's going, like from the beginning to the end. And there's some good stuff in between. So I would, Kings of Fear, Batman, 6-issue run. I forgot who wrote it. I don't have it in front of me. It's another good one that I would definitely recommend that I finished.
Definitely. I have to pick up that because the Scarecrow. The actual Scarecrow from the comic books is one of my favorite ones. So
yeah, he's terrifying.
Yeah, the one from the movie, not so much.
Yeah, no, not yeah.
And another one that you and I both have been reading or started to read, Batman Last Night.
Oh yeah!
Wow. I know I've got it and devoured that one pretty quick. I know it was a fresh read for you now.
Yep.
So what do you think? I enjoyed it. I liked where they were going. I know this is only book one. I don't remember seeing how many books were supposed to be on that.
And yeah, it doesn't say.
No, it does. But I mean, no. For book one, I think it's very interesting. I like the Joker's character in it. Because yeah, as you're reading the book, you hear you're basically reading a narrator. And you think of the narrator as one person, but by the end of the first book, you're realizing that narrator's not who you thought it was.
Oh, not at all. That's what got me.
Yeah, I was like, I like that.
Okay. I mean, the beginning of the book, I was not too keen on because, you know, if you've heard theories of Batman before, there was some stuff that begins the book, and I thought they were throwing it in there. I'm like, oh, I hope it's not this. But then you find that it's not that, and it goes somewhere else. And then it's going to go here, and then it's going to go there.
Yeah, there are a lot of dodges.
Very, very dodgy, very layered, too.
Yeah.
Very, just like a lot of stuff is going on. Like, basically, it's the end of the world. You don't know why. Batman's in the middle of it, of course. He's to blame. Cloning. I'll just leave that. I don't want to spoil some stuff, but I'll say cloning is involved. I want to see where it goes. I mean, the whole thing, like the stories, the way they set it up makes me want to read it more now. Like the beginning, not so much, but like towards the middle, like, it kind of amped it up. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I felt the same way. When I first started reading, I was like, they're not going to do this story. This one's dumb. And then they just pull the wool over your eyes and go, no, we're doing something else. I'm like,
it's completely different.
Yeah.
Completely
different. And I mean, I enjoyed that. I liked that swerve, you know, a good old school story swerve that you think, oh, it's going here, but no, it's not going there.
You know what it reminded me? Not quite to the level of if you ever read the Judas Contract from Teen Titans, which is the only story arc I ever read from the Titans because I thought it was really good. It's kind of like almost like not swervy like the Titans was, because the Titans swerve was like huge.
Yeah, yeah, that one was.
That was huge. I mean, they actually made a movie about it too. I mean, you guys got to check that out. But it has that type of swerve thing that I think comics have been missing for a long time. It's like, oh, okay, now let me keep reading and keep going. I want to stay in this world. I want to see where it's going to go now. And yeah, because
this is Snyder and King's last?
Yes.
This is their last run. Now, I'm sure they'll eventually work together again. I did see King at a convention, a MegaCon convention here, and he was talking about this book. And he was like, this is our last run together for this Batman. That doesn't mean he's going away, or that Snyder's going away, or that they won't ever work together again. But just for this one, it's kind of like their swan song. So definitely picked it up. The artwork on it's tremendous.
It's so good.
Like
so
I said, the way Joker is treated is great. It's an interesting Joker. I can't wait to see where it's going to go.
Yeah, you said it. Very interesting Joker. Very interesting. To segue out of that, I just finished reading The Batman Who Laughs, issue 5. Probably one of the better, probably the best character that came out of Metal was The Batman Who Laughs. Terrifying character, too. I mean, the way he's depicted, I mean, just think about it. The whole name itself, I mean, the whole merging of Joker and Batman, I mean, that enough is terrifying, but actually having the character out there facing Batman, I mean, just the whole Metal series was just wacky, but you know, his character is actually the most terrifying. And what's happened here is basically Batman Who Laughs has invaded Gotham. He's gotten through a portal. He's trying to break Bruce. He's bringing all these different type of Bruce Waynes into this world because he wants to kill them for some reason. The story's a little hokey right now. There's like no main thread line. They brought in a Batman from another world who's like a Punisher type character who basically, you know, instead of that night Joe Chill, you know, when he killed his parents, just Bruce Wayne picked up the gun and killed Joe Chill with the gun. So he was, nice. He's, yeah, it's the newer Batman they've introduced have just really been fascinating to me. And I told you about that whole Metal series that I love, love, love what they did. I mean, I collected almost everything. I gobbled it up. You know, I got 2 Funko Pops now because of that series.
You're welcome.
But yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. But, you know, the Batman Who Laughs, I think, is a character that can go on. I just want him to give him better stories.
Right.
Like, this story is good. It's good. Like, I like the character himself. But he needs something more meatier than just, like, you know, bringing in different Bruce Waynes from different dimensions.
I'm sure they'll nail him down. You know, I think they're trying to first work out a way to bring him into the DC world and then see where he goes from there.
Yeah, because I think he's a character that, you know, you do him right, he could be a threat to just everything. You know, you know, with Joker's psycho sanity and Bruce Wayne's mind, and it's just a lot of good things can come out of the character itself. But issue 5 was okay. I don't know where they're going. Like I said, there's no clear thread storyline. But the character itself, I want him to do more with him. But the book is okay so far. But you know, it's a good read. Covers are nice.
Very cool. Yeah, the covers are definitely nice. That's the one thing I'm not a fan of. I never was a big. I couldn't get picked up on the Metal series. I did finish it. It was okay for me. So I know Kane's going to be the expert on that. But that's the one thing. Every time I see the covers, especially the variant covers, I'm like, ooh, I don't like that book. I don't like him, but I love those freaking covers.
The covers are badass.
They just keep drawing me in.
The Metal story itself is kind of wonky.
Yeah,
I would have to agree with that after because I did read it again. I'm like, okay. But the Metal Batman themselves are really badass. And the way they're used is kind of badass. And it's like, you know, if they all came from these different dark dimensions and they had the Justice League's powers and just seeing them all interact and go after the Justice League was kind of cool.
So, right.
And like I said, it had its moments, but like the wonky storyline was like, with Hawkman and like, you know, a dragon, I don't know. So or I think it was a giant bat.
Yeah, it was a giant bat. Yeah, and actually, I think they're bringing him back in from my
Barbatos. Yeah. Barbatos, right?
That
is his name.
Yeah. So, but all right, folks. Well, that is our picks right now. I know I'm in the middle of the Spider-Verse saga. So that's going to be something I'm going to be reviewing here down the road. I'm also I just picked up and I'm part of the way through because it's a little bit thicker than what I thought it was. Is Superman Year One?
How is it so far?
So far, it's really interesting. It's the artwork is just tremendous. It's you got Frank Miller and John Romita Jr. working together. So I mean, the story is definitely different as far as it goes. It delves really into his point of view. Like the first couple of pages are literally from the baby's point of view of being put into the ship and traveling across the universe. So those are your first couple of pages of this kid and you just every once in a while you'll see the reflection of the child in the window of the spaceship, and you're realizing, he's out there alone.
I hate to go back to what we just talked about before, but you said babies, and I kept thinking of last night in that panel where he's going through the field and you see these people he's being attacked by giant babies.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
With Green Lantern rings. That's what I was like, what is that? That's one of the things,
That's what I think it'll be more answered. Really think from that, look at what we're seeing, I would almost go with the route of Old Man Logan.
Okay.
If I don't know if you've ever read that, so that whole series where he has to go from like Arizona or something into the East Coast and he has to go through the Hulk's territory, Juggernaut's territory. Like a lot of the villains have divided up United States and he has to kind of go through. It's him and Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye's blind. It's been a year since I've read it.
I think it is.
But blind. It's kind of how he's got to go through these different things. And I think almost is what we're going to kind of see in this, but in a Batman.
I can see that because the way they're portraying the whole thing is, I could see it.
But I think that's when I saw those babies, the Green Lantern babies, I was like,
what the hell is this?
I could kind of see that as kind of they covered this area.
But the way they explained it was kind of cool because, Bruce explains it like, if you don't have the strong willpower to wield the ring, it's basically going to dominate you. And that's basically,
the rings are just big children is all the rings are.
Yeah, they're just big kids, and then that's what a kid would do. Like, hey, I'm going to make a Green Lantern or a puppy or something. I don't know. But I was like, okay.
So next week, that's what we'll do. I'm going to go over, like I said, the first book one of Superman Year One. And also, hopefully, I'll have the Spider-Verse finish up. So I'll give a quick little review on that. And I'm sure Kane will have something he's read. And
I'm trying to finish Vader right now.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so, yeah. I finished every run. Like Prodigy was the last new one I got. And Lucifer, that's basically not until next month. Doomsday Clock, I think, doesn't come out for another couple months again. Right. So right now my focus is on Vader. Unless I can, maybe I'll pick up one of the runs that you're reading right now. Who knows?
But yeah, those are ones. So we're going to try to add this into our weekly, part. Not this long, obviously. We're just going to do quick little reviews on a more weekly basis. And, definitely when the things that we do suggest for you guys to check out or read, especially you here locally, get out to Acme, guys. Please check them out.
434 and 1792 in Longwood. Josh is the owner of the place. It's like me and Mike have said before. It's a great place.
Real friendly.
If you want to buy a
group of guys,
anything.
If you need anything, they'll find it for you. Trust me.
They will find.
I went and asked for a book that they had to look up, and it's an old graphic novel called The Sword. So yeah, they had to find that one. I had to special order it for me, so they can get you some stuff out there. So just, pop in, say hi, just do a walkthrough, at least check out what they have. They have art classes and stuff during the weekends. I've been wanting to go to one of their art classes. How to draw Spider-Man. Yeah. Or something like that. But
they always have some cool stuff going on. So that's one thing about the boys in Joshua. They have cool stuff going on and they always do these little videos on Twitter, which I think they're recently incorporating. Just like of this new stuff they got in. Like today I was on their Twitter page and I saw that they got a Starscream.
Yeah.
And they got Starscream with the crown on from the Transformers animated movie. I mean, that's rare as hell because I'd never seen that in my life.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All right, folks. So we will definitely go show you that. I'll come back with that next week. All right, folks. So here we are at the end of our 23rd issue.
Unbelievable.
A little bit longer than what we thought, but again, I figured it would, because we were going to be talking about those books that we've been interested in, and just kind of wanted to get a feel for what we're going to be doing from here on out. You know, like I said, this will be another new segment added on along with the Asylum Ward. We will also have our weekly reads and suggestions. So get out there, guys. What I'm going to try to do is also be able to start posting those online on our Facebook and our Twitter page, as well as our website. So hopefully if you are interested or not sure what we read or talked about, you can always just pop on there and check it out and check the show notes. I'm going to try to get them added to the show notes for this episode as well. But you guys can get everything Heroes Asylum that you need at heroesasylum.com. That gets you the links to all of our Facebook, our social media, and our episodes. I link everything out there, all of our shows on there, as well as our midnight movie review, which we have
one coming up, I believe.
Yeah, we're doing about every couple of weeks, so maybe two a month, maybe three a month, depending on how long the month is. We'll probably have we're going to probably do one next week. We should be having the Highlander, so we will hear more from McCloud.
Yes, there can only be one Michael Jones.
All right, so anything you have today, sir?
Same thing as always every week, Twitter and Instagram. Our Facebook page is the main area of contact for us right now. So like I've told you before and 1,000 times before and 1,000 times, I'll tell you again, Facebook page is run by me and Mike. There is no guy from Indonesia, you know, basically trying to sell you bad goods, or, you know, there's no Russian bots on there. It's me and Mike. We will contact you directly if you have any questions, if you want to put up some polls, if you have suggestions. We love suggestions too. Please put them up there. And like I echo out Mike, it is Twitter and Instagram, Heroes Asylum, Heroes Asylum. Please get there and get to the asylum.
Exactly. Get to the asylum and Sweaties United.